If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. The Lord God is speaking. He says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Father, thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, now as we look into the pages of your word, we ask that Lord, your Holy Spirit would make its anointed words come alive in our spirits, that it would find, lodging in our hearts and application in our lives. We thank you for the truth and the power that is in your word. Make it real to us afresh and anew, we pray right now. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. The title of my message today, I feel somewhat appropriately, given the times we are in, the title is Living in a No-Fear Zone. Living in a No-Fear Zone. You see the no-fear. You know the universal traffic symbol for something that's not allowed is a red circle with a line through it. I submit to you as children of the living God, we live in a no-fear zone. Speaking of fears, a man had been visiting a therapist because he had a fear of monsters living under his bed. I won't ask how many have had that fear. The man had been seeing this doctor for months, and every time he would come in, the doctor would ask, "Have you made any progress?" And every time the man would answer, "No." So at some point, he decided to go see another doctor. When he went back to his first doctor, and the doctor asked, "Have you made any progress?" He said, "Yes, I'm feeling all better now." The doctor asked, "What happened?" The man said, "Well, I went to another doctor, and he cured me in one session." The doctor was intrigued. He said, "What did he tell you?" The man said, "He just told me to cut the legs off my bed." Don't you wish all of our fears were dispensed with that easily? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Well, as you know, we live in a world and in a day and an age that lends itself to fear. Unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, you know about coronavirus. It's everywhere and spreading rapidly, and we undoubtedly haven't seen the end of its spread. It's caused fear. Have you gone to the grocery store lately? Certain items, the shelves are bare. And it's created a panic, and understandably so. But that's not the only thing to cause fear. You heard about the stock market lately? That's taken a big nosedive. In the last 3 weeks, about 3.5 years worth of my retirement account's gains have just disappeared. So I may be around here longer than what was originally planned. You're not going to be done with me for a while. The stock market's crashed. And in case you forgot, it's been pushed to the back pages a little bit. This is an election year. How many knew that? Political division seems worse than ever, doesn't it? I don't care what party you support, if you support no party. You know, political division is just worse than ever. Then there are the ever-increasing threats of crime and violence. I heard of some people with medical masks, you know, which is not unusual to see in this day and age, going around committing robberies with medical masks on. A novel way to hide your identity, I guess. The criminal element always seizes upon the fears of the population, don't they? And all that's on top of the everyday fears, right? Just the things that crop up in life that cause us to fear. Similarly, Isaiah 41 was written to the people of Israel, that is God's people, at a time when there was much fear and uncertainty. Verse 5 of this chapter tells us that the nations around Israel had seen what was happening and they were fearful. But God tells his people here that unlike the people of the other nations, they, God's people, do not have to be overcome by fear. He says in verse 8 and verse 10 that he has chosen them. In other words, God's people are special. Amen? We are special this morning. God's people are precious to him and therefore do not have to be bound by fear. I'll say that again. God's people, that's you and I, are special to him and do not have to be bound by fear. It has been said that the phrase fear not or its equivalent is found 365 times in the scriptures. That's one for every day of the year. Isn't that awesome? Somebody said there are 366, so that's got this year covered for leap year. All right? Fear not. The Bible tells us time and time again. Now, while we should always be prudent and take necessary precautions during times of crisis, I mentioned the precautions we're taking and not meeting this Wednesday, and we'll see how it goes from week to week. It's prudent, it's wise to take precaution. But while we should take the necessary precautions during times of crisis, I believe this morning that as God's people, we do not need to be immobilized by fear. I believe we can live no matter how things are going on around us. I believe we can live in a no-fear zone this morning. In this verse, verse 10, God himself gives his people five reasons they do not have to fear. So then this morning, let's look together at God's answers to the question, why should God's people not give in to fear in any situation? Why should God's people not give in to fear? The first reason is this. God says in verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. God says he is with us. You know, that's not just a message for Christmas time. We love saying at Christmas time that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. How many know that applies every day of the year? That applies in every crisis. That applies in every circumstance. That applies in every problem of our lives. God is with us. You see, this is what sets, we've said this before, this is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion on the face of the earth. In every other religion, man has to find a way somehow to get to God, right? Through their behavior, through what they do, through what they earn. But we know, the scriptures teach us, that according to our faith, according to the word of God, we didn't have to search for God. God came to us. Hallelujah. He loved you and me so much that he came to be one of us. And one of the great lessons of the incarnation is this. It's so that we would understand that God is with us. John said in his gospel that the word became flesh and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus came so we could know that he is one of us, that he feels what we feel, that he experiences what we experience. Our God is with us. There's something about being with someone. Amen? Phone calls are great. Electronic communication is a great benefit when you can't be with someone. But how great is it when you can have the presence of someone you love? Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And in Matthew 28, verse 20, the Lord Jesus himself said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let me tell you, church, you may feel alone sometimes. You may feel abandoned. You may feel like you have to make it on your own, but I'm here to tell you, your God is with you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Does that bless your heart this morning? That encourages me. Hallelujah. The Word of God doesn't say, I'm with you except when there's a worldwide crisis. I'm with you except for the coronavirus. Would our God love us only when things are good? Would He be with us only when the sun is shining, when things are favorable? That's not the God I know. My God is with me every step of the way. How about you? One day a man pulled his car off of the road to help a woman change a flat tire. While he was lying under her car, another vehicle accidentally swerved to the shoulder and hit that car. And in the collision, the car that he was working on was shoved onto his chest. His right thumb was sheared off at the joint. Five of his ribs were broken and his left lung was pierced and began filling with blood. His wife, who was barely 5 feet tall, placed her hands on the bumper of the car and prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was able to lift that car off his chest so he could be dragged out. Some weeks later, she found out that she broke a vertebrae in her back in that action. But the Lord helped her supernaturally do that. The man was in a state of shock and was taken to the hospital. The doctors prepared him for emergency surgery. They didn't worry about his thumb. They said his thumb being reattached won't do him any good if he's dead. His survival was very iffy. But suddenly, spontaneously, his skin changed from an ashen white to pink. He experienced a miraculous healing. Even in the midst of his surgery, or as his surgery was beginning, he invited a surprise surgical team to join him in singing the hymn, "Fairest Lord Jesus." They didn't even bother to hook him up to oxygen. He didn't find out until later that at this precise moment, his father-in-law, who was a pastor, was leading his congregation in prayer for him. The man who was the subject of those prayers, who had this life-threatening accident, who was so close to death's door, was a man named James Loder, who was a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary. His life was not only saved at that moment, but his life was changed. Until then, although he taught at a seminary, God had only been an abstract idea to him. But now he was changed. Now Jesus was no longer an abstract idea. He became a living presence. Later, his daughter Kim wrote that her father's heart grew so tender toward the presence of Jesus Christ that he became known at Princeton as the weeping professor. He began to live from one moment to the next in a God-bathed, God-soaked, God-intoxicated world. The presence of Jesus Christ became a real thing to him. Is the presence of Christ real to you today? Are you aware that He is with you every moment of every day? Sometimes we don't feel Him near. Amen? Sometimes we feel like, as I said earlier, we are all alone. But make no mistake about it. Your God is with you. Hallelujah. And His presence is real. Hallelujah. He can say to us, "Fear not. Do not be afraid, because I am with you." Hallelujah. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." What's the second reason we don't have to give in to fear? It's because He is our God. It says here in verse 10, "Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Hallelujah. That phrase in the Hebrew, "do not be dismayed," literally means "do not gaze about in anxiety." This has reference to those who look about in all directions to see if there is anything that can harm them. Talk about being timely. How many know the Word of God speaks to us today? Do not be dismayed. Do not gaze about in anxiety. God does not want us to live that way, in a constant state of fear and turmoil and anxiety, just looking in all directions for whatever we expect next will come and harm us. Because He is our God. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says this, "David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters." You talk about being in a potential state of anxiety. But listen to this. It says, "But David found strength in the Lord his God." Hallelujah. He is not just the God. He is not just a God. Hallelujah. He is our God. Hallelujah. I love that song we sing sometimes. Our God. Hallelujah. Our God is great. Our God is awesome. Hallelujah. Church, He is not just a God. He is not just out there somewhere. Thank God He is our God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, it is so critical that you have made God your God by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have you taken that step? Have you taken that step? Have you invited Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sins, to wash away your sins and become Lord of your life? It's at that moment that He becomes not just the God, but He becomes your God. If you haven't taken that step, don't leave here today without making the God your God. Hallelujah. He is so precious. He is so wonderful. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that no matter what comes my way in life, no matter what might cause fear to rise up in my soul, that I can turn to my God. Hallelujah. The nations around Israel, they had their so-called gods, in quotes. I say so-called because we realize there's no God but our God. Amen? But they had their idols. They had their so-called principalities. They had the God of the sky, the God of the sea, the God of the land, the God of the stars, the God of the air. You name it, they had a God for it. But their gods were no gods at all. God said to His people, I am your God. Hallelujah. Man once went to a barber shop to have his hair cut and his beard trimmed. The man and the barber talked about various subjects, and when they eventually touched on the subject of God, the barber said, I don't believe that God exists. Why do you say that? The customer asked. The barber continued, if God exists, why are there so many sick people? Why are there abandoned children? If God exists, there should be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow these things. Well, the customer disagreed but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument. So after he left the barber shop, out on the street in front, he saw a man with a long, stringy, dirty hair, and an untrimmed beard. Some of you know where I'm going, right? He had his answer. He went back into the barber shop, and he said to the barber, he said, you know what? I don't believe barbers exist. Barber said, how can you say that? I am a barber. I just worked on you. The customer said, no, barbers don't exist, because if they did, there'd be no people with long hair or untrimmed beards like that man outside. Ah, but barbers do exist, answered the barber. What happens is people don't come to me. Exactly, the customer said. God also exists. What happens is people don't go to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't tell me God doesn't exist, because I've been to Him. Hallelujah. Because He's not just a God. He's not just the figure of a God. Hallelujah. He's not just somebody's idea of a God. Hallelujah. He's my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you face this morning, hallelujah. He's your God. Hallelujah. He's with you. Hallelujah. He is your God. He is faithful. Hallelujah. He is true. He keeps His promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we don't have to live in fear. That's why we live in a no-fear zone, because the God is our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Next time you feel fear rising up, you say, God, I don't have to give in to fear, because You're my God. Hallelujah. And last time I checked, You've got this. Turn to somebody and say this to them. Whatever you're facing, God's got it. He has your back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He is our God. What's the third reason we can live in a no-fear zone? It's because He strengthens us. He says here in verse 10, I will strengthen you. Literally, that's the NIV. I love the NIV, but that's not the best translation. Because in the original Hebrew, the phrase is rendered more like this. I strengthen you. Or I have strengthened you. It is what is known as a completed action. God's saying, you can live in a no-fear zone because I have strengthened you. I have given you strength. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Hallelujah. Sometimes that verse is taken out of context. That just means we can do whatever we want because God strengthens us. Well, that's not exactly what it's saying, because in a few verses before that, there in Philippians 4, Paul is saying, you know, I know how to abound. He said, but I also know how to be in want. He's basically saying, I know how to be content in any circumstances, whether good things are happening or whether bad things are happening. That's when he says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. What that's literally saying is God strengthens me to endure, to get through each and every situation. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. In 2 Timothy 4:17, the Apostle Paul said, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Have you ever had the Lord give you strength? Have you ever had the Lord infuse strength into you? Hallelujah. When you felt like you couldn't go another day, that you couldn't go another circumstance through another circumstance. How many know problems seem to come in clusters? Am I right? Very rarely does one thing go wrong with about 5 or 6 or 10 other things going wrong with it. Car trouble, your appliances break down, sickness, financial setbacks, problem relationships. They all seem to come in clusters. And when we need strength the most, He infuses strength into us. He says, I have strengthened you. Fear not. In his book, Radical, Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream, David Platt writes this. He says, God delights in using ordinary Christians who come to the end of themselves and choose to trust in His extraordinary provision. He stands ready to allocate His power to all who are radically dependent on Him and radically devoted to making much of Him. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. There's probably in our lifetimes, no one has been more respected than the great evangelist Billy Graham, who went to be with the Lord about 1.5 years ago. Billy Graham said this. He said, as an evangelist, I have often felt too far spent to minister from the pulpit to men and women who have filled stadiums to hear a message from the Lord. Yet again and again, my weakness has vanished and my strength has been renewed. I have been filled with God's power, not only in my soul, but physically. He said, on many occasions, God has become especially real, and He has sent His unseen angelic visitors to touch my body, to let me be His messenger for heaven, speaking as a dying man to dying men. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if Billy Graham needed the strength of God, you and I need it too. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Himself, while He walked this earth, relied on the strength of Almighty God to get Him through to carry the task which He was called to do. Hallelujah. We need the strength of the Lord. Let me tell you something you already know. You and your own strength are not capable of getting through with the trials. Anybody, that come as a shock to anyone? I don't care how strong you fancy yourself to be. You do not have the adequate strength, the adequate internal resources to deal with all the problems that life will bring your way. Hallelujah. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, if the God is your God, hallelujah, you have an endless supply of strength, hallelujah, that God will impart to you as much as you need. Hallelujah. We can live in a no-fear zone because He strengthens us, hallelujah, when we need it the most. What's the fourth reason we can live in a no-fear zone? It's because He helps us. He said, I will strengthen you and help you. Hallelujah. I love that. You know, sometimes we think of, some words just have a certain connotation to them. And we think of the word helper, right? You know what I'm going to say? We kind of think of that as a, you know, a helper's a nice thing. We think of a helper as a subordinate, right? There's the main person, the name. Oh, and I have my helper here. Right? And I mean, in some cases, I mean, that's the kind of the nature of the relationship. But that term helper has that kind of a connotation to it, doesn't it? I have my helper. I have my assistant. If we wanted to be real, a little pejorative, because I have my lackey, you know, my servant, my helper. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says that Almighty God is our helper. That puts a whole new meaning on the term, doesn't it? He's not my assistant. He's not my lackey. He's not my servant. I'm his servant. He's the God. He's the Lord and Master. I'm the servant. I'm the assistant. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, Almighty God says he's going to be my helper. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hallelujah. Another verse, I don't have it on the screen, that says, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one less than God Almighty is our helper this morning. Hallelujah. And whatever you need help with, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to admit we need help, isn't it? Sometimes we like to figure, hey, I've got this. You know? God, I know you're there, man. When I get to the big problems, believe me, you're going to be the first one I call. Right? It's like we kind of keep God's in our back pocket. God doesn't belong in your back pocket. God doesn't need to be your helper just kind of for the big things. God wants to be our helper in all things. He said, I'll strengthen you and I will help you. An executive was getting ready for a month-long business trip, and he prayed with his wife before departing. He said, Lord, please protect Sharon and the children while I'm gone. That wasn't me. It wasn't me and my Sharon, okay? It was another man married to a man named Sharon. Although I have prayed that prayer. I will do that. But before departing on the month-long trip, he prayed, Lord, please protect Sharon and the children while I'm gone. When he finished, his wife looked at him and said, well, tell me, who do you think protects us while you're here? Like, God, I'll take care of them while I'm here, but when I'm gone, I need you to step in, right? God is our helper. While walking along the shores of the Dead Sea one day, a man lost his balance and he fell into the water at a point where it was rather deep. Never having learned to swim, he was panic-stricken. In desperation, he began to thrash about with his arms and legs and fearing he would sink down. And after a while, he was completely exhausted, and so he couldn't do any more. So he cried out to God for help. And what a surprise awaited him, for as soon as he stopped thrashing about and he just relaxed, the water bore him up. He had forgotten that the Dead Sea is so full of salt and other minerals that if a person just lies still, he can float on the surface. He will not drown as long as he resigns himself to the buoyancy of the water. This has a profound lesson for you and me as God's children. When we stop thrashing about, when we stop doing our pitiful little bit to try and fix the situation that is so beyond us, we can turn to the Lord who is our helper. We can rely on him. He is a never-failing help. When we find ourselves floundering and thrashing about, and when we realize there's nothing else we can do, then we can realize God is my helper. What do you need help with today? What are you struggling with? What are you dealing with that's beyond your capability? I know some of us this hits a little harder than others. Some of us pride ourselves. You know who you are. You know who you are. You pride yourself on being self-sufficient. I can handle it. Maybe through training or through upbringing, through experience. You see, if you're this type, you see yourself as when I ask for help, that's a sign of weakness. Yes, it is. And we all have weaknesses. I don't care how capable you think you are. You are full of weakness. You just may not be as aware of it as someone else. We all need help. We all need assistance. Hallelujah. And our assistant is not some lackey, not some servant, not just some little kind of person to just fulfill our every whim. He is the God of the universe. God is our helper today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you need help with, call unto God who is your helper. What's the fifth and final reason that we can live in a no-fear zone? It's because God upholds us. He says here, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The idea here is that God sustains us. His right hand is symbolic in Scripture of His might and His power. There are various places in Scripture where God says He will do something with His right hand. Hallelujah. That's a symbol of God's strength and His power. And He says, I will use the power, all the power that I have. How many know God has a lot of power? Does the word unlimited mean anything? God says, I will use my unlimited power to uphold you, to sustain you. Hallelujah. Psalm 145, 13 and 14 says this, the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving to all He has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord upholds us. He sustains us. Hallelujah. How many have felt the sustaining power of Almighty God? When you thought you couldn't make it through, when you thought you were at the end, hallelujah, He sustains us. He upholds us. Hallelujah. And there's no virus. There's no economic downturn. There's no threat of violence. There's no problem. There's no international panic that can keep Him from sustaining and upholding you and me this morning. Hallelujah. I literally can't count the times that the only thing that got me through was the upholding, the sustaining power of Almighty God. I've mentioned before, there's an old gospel song that says, He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build His home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Hallelujah. How can we think that since He's brought us this far, He's going to abandon us? No, He's going to sustain us. He's going to uphold us. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Tony Dungy, who was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts for a number of years and led them to a Super Bowl victory, has a long-standing reputation for being a man of impeccable integrity and strong character. I was privileged to meet Tony Dungy at one of our ministers' conferences and shake his hand. It was a real honor. He's a real man of God. And during the time he was coach of the Colts, little did he know how his faith would be tested during the 2005 football season. The Colts were nearing the end of the season with a 13-0 record and had just come home from beating Jacksonville. And he and his wife were in bed and the phone rang at 1:45 a.m. How many know that's usually not a good thing? The nurse on the other end of the line informed him that his son, Jamie, had taken his own life. Dungy said that the next several days were all a fog. He and his wife flew to Tampa, where Jamie had been enrolled in college and began making plans for his funeral. Dungy says that Lauren and I weren't sure how we'd get through this, but we recognized that we were going to have to cling to God's strength and love if we were going to have a chance. After Jamie's homecoming celebration, as they called it, Dungy faced a difficult decision. Should he go back to Indianapolis and coach his team for the rest of the season, or should he take time to grieve? He ended up taking time off of work for a week, and then he went back. He said, the Colts didn't need me, but I needed them. He went on to say, we all grieve in our own way. God doesn't promise that once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we'll be protected from harm and pain and stress. But He does promise that He'll be there to lean on during those times. I thought it critical that during this time of my own staggering loss, everyone watching our team would see me live out those lessons rather than quit when times were tough. He went on to say, over the many years, many of my players faced tragedies. I had always said that trusting in the Lord was the answer. Now, facing my own tragedy, I knew I needed to accept the truth that God's love and power were sufficient. Let me tell you, you can lean on Him this morning. If you're facing something that you don't know how to deal with, lean on Him. Let Him sustain you. It's often been said, I've heard it said at so many funerals of God's saints. I've heard people said, and you've said it too, and I've said it myself, I don't know how people who don't know the Lord go through these things. You had that feeling? It's God who is our strength. It's God who's our sustaining power. Whatever you're facing, it's been said, there are three types of people. People who've just come out of a storm, people who are in the middle of a storm, or people who are heading into one. We know that storms are part of life. We know that challenges and difficulties. Let me tell you, this coronavirus, and it's a terrible thing. It's got the attention of the world, and rightfully so. And it's got a while to run its course, but it will run its course. Amen? Amen? This too shall pass. But there'll be other trials down the road. That's part of life on this planet. But thank God we have someone who sustains us, who upholds us. We can lean on Him this morning. As I conclude this message, I came across an interesting story that was just so appropriate. I have to conclude by sharing it this morning. It's a story about some hunting dogs. They were good hunting dogs that their owner used to hunt pigs in the mountains. And the owner shared, however, that the dogs, as tough as they were deathly afraid of chickens. Can you imagine big old hunting dogs afraid of chickens? But they were deathly afraid of them. The reason why is fascinating. When the dogs were puppies, they lived around chickens. And at that time, the puppies being so small, the chickens were much larger than these little puppies. And so as a result, the chickens would bully the puppies and chase them all over the place. The young puppies learned to fear the chickens. But because of that, even when they became big, strong hunting dogs, they still clung to their fear of chickens. Amusing as that is, it has a spiritual application for us. You see, there was a time in our lives when Satan may have had power over us. He may have taught us to be afraid of him for many years. But when we have Jesus in our lives, when the God becomes our God, we have authority over Satan. Amen? But still, because of our experience for so long that we were powerless against Satan, we tend to still believe that we are. Let me tell you, like those dogs, we sometimes fear something that we need not fear. The enemy may be powerful, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? Hallelujah! We don't have to fear him any longer. Hallelujah! God has not given us a spirit of fear. Hallelujah! We can be victorious. We can live in a no-fear zone today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm doing my best. Hallelujah! We started by asking the question, why should God's people not give in to fear in any situation? Because He is with us. Hallelujah. Because He is our God. The God is our God this morning. Can I get an amen? Because He strengthens us. He infuses strength within us, body, soul, and spirit this morning. We don't have to fear because He helps us. God Almighty is our helper this morning. And we can live in a no-fear zone because He upholds us this morning. He sustains us by His mighty power. Hallelujah. I like the way Pastor John Piper restates these promises using five different prepositions. I am your God. I am over you. I am with you. I am by your side. I will strengthen you from the inside. Hallelujah. From inside you. I will help you because I am all around you. And I will uphold you from underneath you. Hallelujah. You see, instead of looking around in different directions for that which would cause us to fear, the believer in God, the child of God, should look around. And wherever we look, we should see Almighty God. Hallelujah. Do I look beside me? He is there. Do I look all around me? He's got me surrounded, like we sang this morning. If I look up, He's there. Hallelujah. If I look down, He's upholding me by His strong right arm. Hallelujah. Everywhere I look, He is. Hallelujah. He's got me surrounded. It may look like we're surrounded this morning, but He's the one who's surrounding us. He's the one who is with us. He's the one who is strengthening us and empowering us and upholding us and helping us this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Fear is a human reaction. It's a normal part of life, but we don't have to give in to it. We don't have to be immobilized by it. We don't have to be overcome by it. Hallelujah. Because the God is our God this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.